to truly believe in the magic.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Magic, which is an Orlando Magic UK podcast. We are recording on March the 9th, and this week I am joined by the man who put the man in Mansfield, the big slice himself, Mr. Paul Bacon. How are we doing, sir?
All right, my friend. Thank you very much. Fighting a bit of a cold, but other than that, all good. All good. How's yourself?
Yeah, not bad, mate. Busy week. So I've kind of just been putting time aside to do game previews on Twitter, Watching all possession games at the minute. It's like that. And getting potted up.
Hey, well, I'm see, as everybody knows on here, I'm a Leeds fan, so I'm still buzzing at last night. I'd also like to thank Cardiff for what they've done for us today. And being such a rugby fan, England's performance, wow. So I'm well up. I'm well up for this weekend, mate. So let's be good to sit down and talk some hoops. Even though we're coming off a less than ideal game.
So will there be a happy Welshman watching this now you're giving Cardiff a shout out?
Oh, mate, Mr. Jones will be happy because that to beat Ipswich 2-1, good performance. Well done to him. So Ipswich are a good team. Mm-hmm. Good team.
Yeah, they are. Footballing team.
Mate, they're good going forward, but they can concede too much. I think that's going to be their Achilles heel by the end of the season. I hope.
They just keep signing strikers, don't they? Or Ipswich has signed a striker. Ipswich has signed it.
That game that they had in the midweek, mad how many times they came back from being down. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So before we start, there's two areas I want to shout out. First of all, I'm going to highlight, it's not on the agenda, but attractiontickets.com, we're affiliated with them. If you check through our links, if you check any of our previews, if you check any of Paul's brilliant slice, you will see them linked up. So if you're thinking about a trip to the City Beautiful, whether that is for a holiday, whether it's to see the magic, whether it's to do theme parks, or you're thinking of a holiday perhaps elsewhere, do check out our deals. We would also like to say a huge thank you and a shout out to our Patreon members.
Absolutely.
You help us put this show together. You help us do what we do. So every week we say it, but every week we mean it. So Barry Conn, Paolo and Franz Warmth, Ollie Law, Gary Clark, Angus Craig, Dylan Holden, Alan Kane, Tom Soane, Mark Josh, Sean Moore, Liam Radbourne, Andy Lindley, Stuart Benzies, Drum. I haven't tripped over that.
And I'm loving how you are just not looking at me, knowing what's coming at the end.
Our newest member, and this is a real mouthful.
This name, well played. I love it.
Yep. Podfather Phil loves Hazy Northwestern, and I said that looking at you, Paul, so...
I love that name. It's so good. So anybody else who would like to join and come up with a more inventive name, I'm all over it. Superb stuff.
I've got a feeling Drum will be listening to this and be thinking, I'm going to change my name. just a feeling.
Yeah. Right, as you've said so eloquently, thank you to everyone for that. We genuinely appreciate your support, however you support what we do.
So with that said, I'm going to throw a little catchphrase in, cheesy as anything, let's talk magic. there we go. No sound effects on this pod. So the Magic have recently beaten the Pistons, the Hornets, the Wizards. So there were three games that we would have expected to win. Unfortunately, we took a huge loss in Madison Square Garden last night. So we've lost one of four against the Knicks this season. We're sitting on a 37-27 record at the time of filming this, which puts us in fifth place in the East. And anyone who's looked at the standings knows every game counts now. It's paper thin, the gap between the Knicks, who are now in fourth because of that, and down to the Pacers, hugely talented team, who are sat in eighth with a 35-29 record. So it was an ugly loss, in my opinion, Paul.
Absolutely.
I felt only Paolo and GI really emerged from the game with much credit. I do think we were better when GI was on the court, especially in the first half. Obviously, whenever there's a huge win or a huge loss, we can see social media polarize one way or another, which it happened.
Just full blowout today, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mushroom cloud went up. I was like, oh dear. But is this a grounds for panic, or was it something where we've got a preview of what to expect from a very good but injured team, really, heading into the playoffs? So what do you think we learned from last night, Paul?
think the first thing that we learned, and something that we haven't had this season, is how it feels to get your ass kicked and how little you actually like that feeling. And now they've got to get that opportunity of showing how to react to that experience. It was a good thing. Honestly, I genuinely think that there is as many positives to be taken in failure as there is from success. You learn by failure. But before we go any further, I also want to acknowledge Jalen Brunson has some genuine skills. And one of those is how to fall over. Mate, he spends half the game horizontal. It's incredible. But he was the difference maker. Really was. They had players step up and come big. DiVincenzo is one of those alike. Miles McBride came out and gave good solid minutes. They've got a good team. They are going to be difficult to whoever meets them in the playoffs. They are going to be a hard matchup. But coming back to us, we had an off night. We definitely had an off night. We were second best in pretty much every way for a lot of the game. Fair to say that, yes, that's three road games in four nights. The Knicks had a rest. Suggs being absent, that was a huge loss for us going into that particular type of encounter. Mm-hmm. But as I say, in failure, learning comes. So let's not overreact to the one game. I think it's oversimplistic of me to say that we had the luck that the occasion beat us in some ways. It's very few of our guys have played in potentially a bigger game. And I don't want to over-egg what is a single regular season game. Mm-hmm. But at this point of the season, with where the standings are for these two teams, that was a massive game. I think it was a bigger game for the Knicks than for ourselves, because had we won that, we'd gained a little bit of proper separation on them. There would have been a win behind us with a game still owing, but we would have also, we owned the tiebreaker. So they could have only drawn level with us if they won that game. So for me, it was a bigger game for them. Mm-hmm. But remembering, let's say, we do hold that tiebreaker and we also have the perceived easier schedule. So I did feel it was more of a must win for them than for us. But going into last night, the Garden had the feel of a playoff atmosphere. It was rocking. Yeah. It was rocking. Their fans were up for it. It was packed. And that's where I felt that the occasion played ourselves, not necessarily their team. Their team are packed with experience, particularly from last season's playoff run. We don't have that. Aside from, what have we got? Markel, Gary Harris, Jonathan Isaac with ourselves, and Joe Ingles.
Joe Ingles, yeah.
I can't think of anybody else who will have playoff experience. And there's a couple of those where the playoff part of the playoff experience is in the bubble. So a completely different feel to a playoff game than what was experienced last night. The one thing that's starting to trouble me, and we spoke about this last week as well on the pod, I think we were talking about Admiral in a timeout saying, focus on your game and stop complaining to the officials.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, more than one game this week, we've seen that the team have got hooked up on this. We're not getting the calls, and it's started to affect their ability to play the game. And I think we saw that last night. It's happening too much, in my opinion. I think it's a definite sign of the team's inexperience, rather than just thinking, let's get on with this, That's something you can't affect. So play through. I would rather start seeing everything. I mean, how do I put this? Yeah, I'll say this. I thought that the Magic seemed to be surprised that you weren't getting calls. And all three games that we'd had previously against the Knicks had been physical affairs. They'd all been closely competed, and the foul call, both teams were being allowed to play.
Yeah.
It didn't seem to affect the Knicks in the same way as it did ourselves. I'll go back to Brunson, Jalen Brunson. He did plenty of whining about not getting calls, but he did it in a period where the ball wasn't live. We had more than one point where one of our guys would pause to have a moan before starting to get back in transition. You can't have that. You play to the whistle. And I think that's something that they've got to learn to stop doing. You know that playing a Knicks team, they're going to contest shots. You know that they're going to slap down at the ball, that they're going to go at the glass. Coach Tibbs' teams have been doing that for years. It's been the same throughout his time in New York, and it's been it was exactly the same when he was at Chicago. Those sorts. That's the type of basketball he plays. So I was surprised in some ways that we seemed took aback by it. I also think that you know what to expect with certain officials. You know how you can tell inside 5 minutes. Every sport there is, you can tell inside 5 minutes of a game how a game is going to be called, and you have to adapt to that. And I don't think we did in the same way that we should have done. As to our frustrations with the fouls, because I don't want this to sound like a negative against the officials, because actually it's not. I thought they called it pretty even throughout the night. And you have to accept that we got more free throws. We got more calls our way than they did. So I guess it's something that was perceived by our players, but we were getting more calls. The other thing I'll say is, if we'd have felt that some of the calls were so bad, surely we'd have used that challenge. And I accept that the caveat to that is that you can't challenge a no call. But yeah, I think there's good learning curves from that one game. I really do.
It's an interesting one, because I think for me, the one I expected, because of the magnitude of the game in football terms, it was a 6-pointer. We've got a lot of advantages over the Knicks for the rest of the season. But it was that 6-pointer. And for me, it was a bit of a, you're actually in the fire here, boys. How are you going to handle it? Because I think it was Cortez said on Twitter, and I totally agree with it, the two games. And this is where I was a little bit upset, and it wasn't in meltdown territory. I was just a little bit like, no, that's disappointing. Is the two games where we've had pressure for different reasons, as the Thunder game in Orlando and the Knicks game last night, where I thought, like later in the season, one was the retirement one, the Thunder came in, and you can see the way, like, I thought Shea wasn't too nice, shall we say, when we played against OKC, which he's entitled to be. And then last night, as you said, at the Garden, that was probably as close to a playoff atmosphere as we're going to get before the playoffs. So it's been valuable in the fact of what happened. The Knicks being physical, I don't have a problem with, because we're physical. And you know what? If it's going to be one of those where any of our players or any of our, you know, like anyone in the organization actually sits there and goes, oh, they were physical with us. Well, it works for us a lot of the time, and it's worked for us against the Knicks before. And that's why we've given the Knicks problems, I think, earlier in the season. And I still think the Knicks making some of the trades they did were in a response to how much they were struggling with, like, our physicality and defense going for OG. I think there was a lot behind that on that end of the trade. So I don't really have a problem with it. And from football into basketball, and there are outrageous calls and no calls that happen. It happens, but my view is if our talking point is the referees, then we are a bad team. And I don't think we are a bad team. So I'm kind of like, do you know what? if we're going to get into positions, then we've got to find a way around that. And, you know, like, let Moseley deal with it on the sidelines.
We've seen it this week, haven't we, in the Premiership, as far as it was the Forest-Liverpool game particularly that got that attention. And there's been lots of focus on a mistake that the referee made. There's mm-hmm. zero focus being made on the missed opportunities to score. Mm-hmm. The zero attention being placed on, you had the opportunities to defend that play mm-hmm. multiple times, and one mistake hasn't cost you the game. It's all the mistakes that you've made as a collective up to that point. Mm-hmm. And I think that last night was one of those cases that they kept the Knicks came out with an intention to hit us and hit us hard. They came out from the start and played yeah. some really good basketball. I think they wanted to send a message in that, because let's be fair, genuinely we could meet these guys in the playoffs.
Very realistically.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that they didn't want, there's an element of pride anyway. Who wants to get swept 4-0 on a season?
Yeah.
They wouldn't want that. And regardless of their absences, they're still a good team. They have a lot of good players out there. I have zero issue on the officiating. I have zero issue on the fact that we lost. It was just a little disappointing that we lost by, you know, we scored so few points.
That was worrying.
Yeah. That's the thing that I will say, the Suggs absence hurts. It hurts the flow of the team. And as you said earlier, anyone outside of names Paolo or Jonathan didn't really do that. They did themselves justice last night.
My big worry going into the playoffs, defensively, I'm not actually that worried about the Magic, because I think we are an elite defensive team. My worry is that we're all too often see at the minute where it's Paolo putting up 20-odd points a game, 30 points, and then there isn't a great deal behind that. And I think somebody needs to step into the phone box with him and come out as Robin. And I think Franz is in a little bit of a slump. I don't think he's, by his standards, even though the stats would say so, I would say on the court, he hasn't been as smooth this season as he's previously been. So, like, shots that have gone for Franz before, including the three, haven't dropped as freely this season. So I think there's something there for him to figure out to get back to that level of smoothness that he's had. But we need something. Cole's been going through it where hasn't been the same for a little bit. And there's been times where if you need the spark, you get it from Cole Anthony from the bench. Wendell's 3-point percentages are up, but I think he's offensively took a little bit of a backseat this season, and that would reflect in his stats. And there just needs to be someone who is consistently there, going to give you that little bit behind Paolo.
If you want a positive as well from last mm-hmm. night, we held the Knicks to under 100 points. Mm-hmm. Defensively, we were still able to get things done. Unfortunately, the Knicks' defense were far more effective last night than mm-hmm. they've been a lot of the season. They block wise, they don't get anywhere near that figure on a regular basis. No. Hartenstein was superb.
Yeah, he was.
They played with a pride last night, and unfortunately, we had a night where multiple players had one of their lesser nights.
Yeah.
It happens in sport. It happens in mm-hmm. every walk of life where you have a down day. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we saw a vast majority of our team have a down day all at one point. Let's not overreact.
I watched the first half last night and I was kind of like, I don't think we're winning this. Because it looked, whenever we were putting a run together where it looked like we got down to 7 points, and then it just blew open again.
Yeah.
And it happened a couple of times like that, and I just went, I don't think we're going to get over this hump. And then I watched the second half this morning, and I was like,
"What? Where has was it? It was the Washington game, wasn't it, where we came back from 21 points?
Mm.
In that one, we focus. We came out second half with a renewed focus on defense,
yeah.
And it allowed the offense to start flowing. Mm-hmm. We had a focus on defense all of last night. We played some good defensive basketball. Yeah. Unfortunately, it just never happened on the other end.
No.
It happens. Let's not panic.
Yeah, that leads us into the next point, really, Paul. So it's like, yes, we're in fifth now, but fourth is certainly not out of the question. And Dylan Holden, one of our Patreon members, has asked, I think, a really good question, and he says, "Has the mindset of the team goals changed, especially if we lock up a top four seed? Should we be looking at a playoff first round win?" So before the season, we were basically all saying, look, if we can get the 500 and we're going to end up at worst in the play-in, but if we can be in the playoffs, great. 6 to 8 seed, I think 6 was seen as like probably our height of our ambitions in most places.
Yeah, mate, that's where I was.
And we, you know, I think I was quite conservative with it. I think I said between 41 and 43. We're looking where we could be a lock in the playoffs, and we could even be top four. So has the ambition changed, especially what should we be now looking at getting a playoff first round win?
I'm perhaps still in the minority here. I'm judging this season a success if we get to the playoffs. I'm not really worried what happens beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say before people go, idiot, I don't want us to go in and get a 4-0 sweep. Be swept 4-0. I want us to go in there and be competitive. And I don't believe that any team, even if we'd have just scraped in through the play-in as the 8th seed, I don't believe that any team goes into a playoff series thinking, well, that's great, I'm just happy to be here. You're going to go for it. You're going to go mm-hmm. for it. We saw it with Miami last year, that you can cause upsets and you can keep going. So I don't believe that we'd have gone in with that attitude of, well, thanks for asking us.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil the party.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to, whatever happens in the postseason, wherever we finish in the standings for the seedings, I'm going to consider that the season is a success because of the improved record and on the assumption that we are making the playoffs. I'm still more focused beyond this season. Because let's be honest, we've said this before as well, the 15 or 18 players that we have on this roster, it's not the finished article. Getting to the playoffs, as we saw from last night, coming back to last night's game again, but getting to the playoffs is of more value to the team mm-hmm. for experience than how far they get.
Yeah.
Hope that's understandable. You want to go in, you want to be competitive.
Yeah.
Got to be competitive. You want, if you can pick up a couple of wins, beautiful. If you go out 4-2, mm-hmm. say we end up as the 6th seed and mm-hmm. we end up facing, so that could be Milwaukee, Cleveland or Milwaukee. Let's say it's Milwaukee.
Yeah.
If you go out in that first round 4-2 to them, is there any shame in going out to what people consider to be one of the top teams in the East, the team that has Dame Lillard, the team that has Giannis Antetokounmpo? There's no and that supporting cast to mm-hmm. be competitive in a series against them mm-hmm. is superb. I'm discounting that we're going to play Boston. I don't think we're going to, unless we've dropped and end up in the play-in tournament, lose the first round of that, and then mm-hmm. scrape the 8th seed. I don't see us playing Boston. God, I really not jinx that, mate. I'm doing what I hate there, aren't I? I'm really hoping that we're not, but I don't think that we'll drop that far. Now I don't think we will.
I think it's an interesting one from Dylan. It really is, because I'm still in that peace of mind where just looking at the wins and remembering where we were, and I'm like, we should exceed 41 wins. We should hit 45 wins, really. And then anything above that, so even an added incentive. If we get to the playoffs, I want to win. So I think I know you do the same. It would depend who the matchup is. And I know it's kind of like, if we got Boston, I'm not confident. I know this is going into our next question, really.
Let's work it in, mate, because I think it flows in.
So we'll flow all this together. I think we match up well against the Bucks. So I'm not looking at it as a disaster if it's Orlando versus Milwaukee. My worry against any team is what we can do offensively, because I think on the defensive end, I think we can cause teams problems because of what we have. And especially in the first round, when the games are more spaced out, the likes of Jonathan Isaac aren't going to be doing back-to-backs. So we get to rest those players and play them. And that, we know, is nightmare fuel for teams. When GIs play minutes, they don't tend to get much over 100 points, if 100 points at all. So really my worry is okay, how do we match up offensively against anyone, because of the worry of who comes out and supports Paolo. I actually think we don't match up badly with Milwaukee, because we have, I'm not saying you can stop them, but we've got two players who can cause their two best defensive players problems. So Jonathan Isaac is one of the few players in the league who can stand in front of Giannis and who can cause him problems in the paint. And there's not many people can say that. And then players like Paolo and Wendell have got the size, the bulk to do the same and play against the size of the Bucks.
Yep.
And then Jalen Suggs, on the defensive end of things, we know in the playoffs that Jalen Suggs is going to take that matchup with Dame Lillard. We know he is, and he's going to want that matchup with Dame Lillard. Jalen Suggs is one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA. So you're then getting the great offense meets the great defense. So for me, out of everyone who's out there, I'm like, well, I don't mind the matchup against the Bucks for several reasons. One, it's against pure quality. Two, I actually think we've got the better coach in that series. And three, I think we can cause them problems. So them and Philadelphia, with the idea of Joel Embiid not being 100% fit, are where I go, we actually have a better chance against those two teams. I actually do not want to see us in the playoffs against Miami.
I agree.
Because I think they've got the best coach in there, right, and they'll hit another level. When that playoff starts, you know what's coming, because it happens every year.
Yep. They've got that experience on and off the court, and I know that people are going to go, oh, really? You get buying into it? There's that phrase that sits around them. Mm-hmm. Come the playoffs, come the postseason, they do have that ethic. I'm not going to use their word. I'm going to use ethic. They have that ethic, that work ethic. They come together and are able to get results. We saw it last year. Mm-hmm. They went further than anybody expected, and sticks in the throat a little bit. They deserved it. They deserved to get where they got to last year. They were superb. Mm-hmm. I quite like us against Cleveland, I'll be honest.
Okay.
I know that they, on paper, you look and think we've got Allen crashing the boards. You've got Garland, who is playing some superb basketball in the backcourt. You've got Max Strus, who can shoot the ball. You've got George Niang throwing Donovan Mitchell, who wasn't playing last night. They've got a good they are packed. But I think we match quite well against them. again, for the same sorts of reasons. Mm-hmm. The risk with them is obviously that they can get hot shooting the three very, very quickly.
Yeah.
But they are susceptible to our style of basketball on offense, because we can set defensively and limit their scoring at times.
Mm.
What we are good at on the offensive end is some of the areas that they particularly struggle with. The other team that I'm going to say, and coming off of a backside kicking that we got from them last night, perhaps people will be surprised, but I still think that going up against the Knicks, I think it would be a hard, physical, difficult series that could end up going to six, seven games. But again, I think, just as you've said, mm-hmm. a fully fit Magic on nights where we aren't having back-to-backs can match up well against them. And I think that'd be a really entertaining series. I bet in the phrase that you regularly hear American commentators use, it could get chippy. I know we would call it something completely different to that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it could get chippy, I think. And I just think that physical battle, we've spoke about that, our team enjoy that physicality.
Yeah.
And I think we could match up well in that one. I wouldn't be upset if we got fourth seed home court advantage and met the Knicks, or fifth seed and met the Knicks. I wouldn't be upset at that at all.
Do you know what will be interesting about that series is actually the arenas for me for that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make 2 points, because I think the Kia Centre, we know we could see Knicks fans infiltrate the Kia. That could happen.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
So that is legitimate.
There's a hell of a lot of people who have moved from New York direction to Florida.
Snowbirds, yeah. Basically. But yeah, that could
same
happen.
Same with Boston, mate. If you remember that, we were there opening night last season playing Boston. We're walking out, and I'm talking to a couple of guys who are in Boston shirts with Magic season tickets.
Yeah.
Okay. Mate, we're from Boston. Two games a year in the then Amway, now Kia. Mm-hmm. We don't have a Magic shirt on. The rest of the season, we've got the Magic shirt on. But that's where we grew up. That's our hometown team. So they're our team, but we live here and we're behind. So there are those people who are, I won't say confused, but I don't get how you support two teams in one conference.
I don't know. But I'll tell you what the flip of that is. Could you imagine, and it could work in a number of ways here, but could you imagine if Orlando, let's say we had home court, and we'll say the Knicks have home court, and we won game one in New York.
Yep.
Could you imagine what the Garden would be like? Because my memories are it didn't take things. I thought Trae Young got in the Garden's head.
Yeah.
A few years ago when Atlanta played them. And it was probably Trae Young's finest hour as a basketball player, that New York series. And I like the Garden. I actually like the Knicks as a team. I like New York as a city. I like its attitude. But I was like, that can turn. The Garden can turn. You know, I can remember it in the Jordan era. The Garden can let you know if things aren't going.
It's a demanding fan base.
Yes. Rightly.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting one for me about what could potentially happen in the two home arenas, where you could see a lot of New York fests in the Kia Center, but conversely, the Magic could turn that.
More and more Magic fans.
But we could turn it.
It's great.
We are. But I think that's Paolo. Yeah. I think that's Paolo. But this will lead us in again in a second, but I could see that where just the frustration at what, you know, because we're not well covered. So if in the playoffs, the Magic, like, the Pacers have got pressed because of Tyrese Haliburton, even though right now, as we do this, they're a worse team than us for record.
Yeah.
They still get a lot more love than the Magic do. Really, the Bulls should be talked about as exciting young teams, in my opinion. But it's interesting how the perception could be in New York of the Magic if they went in and start doing things in that Madison Square Garden in a playoff. I think the players on the Knicks respect the Magic because of how they played last night. Josh Hart's comments after the game, for example, they're aware, and Thibodeau won't accept any less. But whether the fan base respects the Magic, that's a totally different thing. This is not Jimmy Butler coming into town, you know?
Right. And I think, again, this kind of runs into where you were. I know that you were going to ask me who worries me in the East.
Yeah.
I think this what I want to say fits in here as well. I think on whoever we play in the playoffs, and I know it's an assumption that we're getting there. We're not being big-headed and bragging and saying, yeah, we've done it. We're going on, we're talking about on where we are at this minute in time.
Yep.
But whoever we meet in that playoffs, aside from, say, somehow we climbed up to second and met a Chicago, then I think whoever we play, assuming it's, let's go Boston, Milwaukee, Cleveland, Indiana, Philly, Miami, or New York, they're the seven I'm going with. Assuming that any of those seven that we play, we will be the underdogs.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a problem. No. I don't see that being an issue. Even if we're the fourth seed, or by some quirk of fate, we fought our way up to the third seed. I don't think, even if we are the underdog with home court advantage, I don't see it being a problem because it's going to be based on experience and we don't have that experience. We're going in as a learning curve. So Paolo was interviewed last night and said that the coach had said to him, what you've just experienced is the closest you're going to get to the playoffs. That's what you've got to expect. The next experience you hope that they're going to have of a playoff atmosphere is back at home in the Kia Center when we take on the Pacers. That place has to be rocking. You want the place absolutely rocking.
Yeah.
To give the team the experience of how loud your home court crowd can be and how supportive it can be. It could, and if you've had that experience of the atmosphere in these two games, that's a good standpoint to start from of playing in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Because the fight is so close from here on in, every game is, I'm not going to use the phrase must win, but the wins are hugely important because of how packed up all those teams are. We have certain advantages over certain teams in that we own the tiebreaker. Other teams have the advantage over us in that they have a game in hand or two games in hand. We have that advantage in that we have the perceived easier schedule, but you still have to beat what's in front of you.
Yeah.
There's no W in that column until you've actually played the team and beaten them. So perception of a schedule is just that. It's the same way as when we talk about the draft, who should go at one, who should go at two. It's opinions. Mm-hmm. On any given night, a team can turn up and have an off night, and the team that you're playing, who should be awful and you should be taking an easy W, turn up and are a team that looked like they could have been Showtime. you know, it happens, and we've all seen it in any sport that you watch. These things happen, but you have to be who's in front of you. Mm-hmm. I genuinely think that we will be the underdogs, whoever we take on. And outside of Boston, I think we go toe to toe. I think we can go toe to toe with any of those seven teams.
Yeah. We can give them a series. I think we're kind of in a similar, not the same, but in a similar breath to what Sacramento were last year, where they obviously hadn't been in the playoffs for so long with a young team. Man. And we're a young team. And the Kings didn't get that much media love either. And they were up against an experienced playoff team in Golden State.
Yeah.
So I think we are there, but I want to come on to a little bit of the whole like respect thing, which we were getting at there, Paul, as well. And I think all of us had an opinion on this. Not that I'm saying all of us were triggered by it, but there were comments that came out from Wozni Lambre. I think I've pronounced his name right there, but whatever, from The Ringer. And the quote that was made was, sometimes you get the number one pick and it's Paolo. Sometimes you just don't get the right guy. These guys don't project to be top end guys, which says what it does. Looking at it, Paolo, it's incredibly disrespectful, I felt, to a second year all-star with generational numbers in his rookie year, and the amount of wins he's piled on and credibility he's piled onto this franchise are unreal. And I think it was in some ways disrespectful to Franz as well. So do you agree with that, Paul, or is there any truth in there?
Okay. It's been a week for the comments, really, hasn't it? I think in some ways most of these talking heads comments actually show a lack of depth of knowledge of the game, of the league itself. Not a knowledge of the game. These people, your Gilbert Arenas and all these, will be able to talk far more about how you play this position and how you move the ball here and there, and what is involved in this play, and
what's involved in
that play. Yeah. Than you and I ever can. Not saying that. However, if you are not necessarily following a team and you're only watching what's put in front of you week in, week out by those national media, you don't see across the board. You and I and every other Magic fan that's probably watching this watches every or most Magic games. And so you will see all the teams across the season at least twice. Get an idea. Like you, at this moment in time, I'm sure that most Magic fans are watching our game and then going, right, let's have a look at Miami's, let's have a look at Phillies, let's have a look at Cleveland's, let's have a look at Indies. So you are seeing a wider range of teams. And I think that sometimes that it's not born out of disrespect, it's just born out of a lack of in-depth knowledge of the lesser loved media teams.
I think it's interesting because they're talking about us though, aren't they?
Yeah. But they're talking about us from a point where they've not really had to watch us very much. So they haven't seen the development that the team has gone through. You're not talking about, there's no other rookie. How many times have we said this? There was no other rookie that was getting double and triple teamed last season. And it's very hard to think of a rookie in recent seasons who has garnered so much focus on their opposition from the opposition. But it's in the same week, isn't it, as what was it, Gilbert Arenas saying that European players are ruining the defensive game in the NBA because they don't go to, I think the argument was that they don't go to US colleges where the fundamentals of defense are taught. He is also the same guy that said about teams not planning for Paolo, really. So, look, in talking about these guys, we give the attention seekers the oxygen that they so crave. But you can't just ignore the comments. You've got to talk about them. But look, for Paolo, yes, I think it is disrespectful to say that. You've made allusion to it already. His rookie season, generational numbers, very, very few players, and the company he kept historic-wise, is phenomenal, and he's increased that this season. Increased us by 12 wins last season. He was part of that team that increased us by 12 wins in his rookie season, and he was a large part of that, 22 to 34. Mm-hmm. I think it was, and we've
now, was roughly anyway. It was
with 18 games remaining. We've already surpassed that. So in his second year, we've surpassed that with 18 games remaining. We now have three more wins than that. We're on 37 wins, aren't we? That saw us jump from the 13th seed to legitimately fighting for home court advantage in the playoffs. And you're not doing this with... and I think this is an important factor to put in there. We aren't doing this with like what OKC have got. And this is not a slight on what the youth of OKC have done. But they'd already got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in that lineup. People forget that he was drafted 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw him with
Clips on that.
The Clippers in 2018, which was his rookie season. You forget that he's been around that number of years because he is still a young player.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been that talented young group that the OKC have got were able to start life with a very, very talented and already somewhat experienced guard, the playmaker. The person who can take a lot of the pressure from some of those. We haven't had that. Paolo's come in and been the man to start with. And I think if we'd have had that position, that we'd had somebody in that vein, in position in Orlando, I think we would have been looking at... I don't think it's unreasonable to suggest that we would have been in that same sort of position that OKC... have achieved and let's be fair, worked and played really, really well to get to.
Yeah.
We also have, right, the other thing, you ask me if it's fair. I suppose you look at last night, you look at the Knicks game, and there's perhaps that argument there that Franz didn't have a good game. You've already mentioned about he's having a little bit of a slump. He's not been as smooth this season. We also have a fairly vocal element in the Magic fan base who consider that Franz is little more than a role player, that he isn't a viable second option. I think it's less a question about ability, more around what we have surrounding them. Coming back to what we said before.
I think it's interesting as well, Paul, what you're saying about OKC. Another point I would make on the Thunder is that we can kind of see a little bit with the Magic this season is when they went into their rebuild, they went into it with a still very good Chris Paul.
Yep.
They're basically taking Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in particular under his wing. You had Lou Dort there, et cetera, but you had that veteran who was an all-NBA level veteran who was still seen as like a piece on a title slash team at that point when he was there, because I think he went from there to Phoenix, correct? From OKC to Phoenix, I think was where he
was. Was it that way? Yeah,
I think But he basically did a year for them, and we've seen what adding Joe Ingles, who's a very good vet but not an all star, did for us. So I think when you throw that in to the talent of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at the time when they got him. And you put a still very good Chris Paul there to say, let me show you the ropes. Let me be the vocal leader. Let me carry the load on these things and build a culture in the locker room of a winner. That has its own merits.
Yeah.
You know, when you've got teams going on losing streaks or in tight games, you can look to your Chris Paul. We haven't had that really in our rebuild. Ours has been a pretty much until this season, youthful rebuild with Gary Harris really being the veteran.
And this is where, coming back to earlier, My focus is still beyond this season.
Yeah.
I think that's where we start looking at that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Start using some of the capital that we have.
Well, Paolo's in it. I think Paolo just highlights the job Paolo's done as well. And what you were saying about the stats and the record, there's a very real chance that in 2 years, and yes, I know injuries have been a factor why we've been this bad, but there's a very real chance that this team, now led by Paolo Banchero, over doubles the win total from before he arrived.
Yeah.
And that's something, and it kind of like, if that doesn't shut a narrative down, which is on the agenda, it's going to have to come in the playoffs. And I know, I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Sandy Banchero, who follows us, said about winning a playoff series. I could be wrong there. Would it take that? Maybe. Would it take the Magic being on national TV in the playoffs and Paolo doing what Paolo does with people watching him four times or three times? But I think the playoffs might shine a light on Banchero and his value to the Magic and how good he is. Because Dwight Howard, like I made this point on our Let's Talk Magic account, when Dwight came in the league, he wasn't loved. There was a lot of people, and included in the Magic fan base, because T-Mac was still on the team when we won that lottery, we're talking about Emeka Okafor as being the better option. And Dwight didn't come into the league as a 2010 guy. Dwight came into the league where he put a hell of a lot of size on, and he was like a double-double guy, but with not that much offensive game at all, like dunks and using his athleticism, a little bit like Jalen Duren, if people want a comparison of a modern player. And Dwight just got better and better and better year on year, but you could see it. Like, he didn't win the Rookie of the Year, but you knew, like, something happened. From my angle, I was like, something's got to go wrong here if this guy isn't an all-star, like an absolute minimum. Something has gone sadly wrong.
Okay.
Because you could see it in year one. And that's when I look at it and go, like, I remember being on Real GM at the time and reading message boards, and it was about his lack of basketball fundamentals. And people did rightly say he might struggle with injuries because there was comparisons drawn between his physique and David Robinson and things like that. But what he gave the Magic when he was on the Magic was he was a legit, you know, he won the Defensive Player of the Year multiple times. He was the shoe-in starting center for the All-Star team. He was on Team USA. He was in commercials. And he took the team on his back to the finals with the right pieces around him and a very good coach. So that was a guy who was overlooked, I felt, in year one. And going into that draft, he was not a consensus number one pick. He was not. It was not. So I look at it and go, maybe Paolo's got to do that.
I think if we're talking about shutting the narrative down, then that's a very, very good winning a first round series against whoever is a very, very good point. And I
that came originally from Twitter. I will throw that in.
Yeah, mate. I think that's a cracking, whoever came up with that, I think that's a cracking point. I will take it back. If we went 4-3, if we took three wins against a team and took them to final game, and Paolo has been the guy who's put the team on his shoulders, got us a couple of buzzer beaters or clutch points that have taken us to that position, then I think it starts to quieten. And ultimately, though, people are always going to be pointing to his efficiency. That's going to be so he's got to keep playing with focus. He's got to play with focus. He's got to learn where to improve his game. Now, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but Paolo was on one of the latest episodes of NBA Action with Dennis 3D Scott. Shooters corner, or whatever it's called, and they were talking about the three different levels of scoring, and Dennis and Paolo are going through, talking to Paolo about his three-point shooting. What does he look for? Paolo's explaining this. Then talks about the mid-range. Paolo's explaining that, yeah, this is I'm second year. I'm getting used to just looking at what the defense are presenting to me. Are they double teaming? Are they triple teaming? Mm-hmm. If it's one-on-one, then I'm going, and this is my spot. And he's talking about doing shots. And then, obviously, as we say, penetrating into the paint. Mm-hmm. Finished with Dennis going, okay, we've got to talk about it. The free throws. You're this player, and you're at this percentage. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. So tell me, talk about it. And Paolo's answer was that come clutch time, he is almost 100% accurate. Hardly misses. Mm. So he's thinking that it's not a ability thing, or he was kind of indicating that he doesn't think it's an ability thing or a fundamental need to change his shot or any of those sorts of things. He was kind of indicating that he feels it could be perhaps something that's, it's a mindset that he's not locked in at the line early in a game as he should be. And that's where he's got to work. Now, I think that's a youthful thing. That's an experience. That's somebody learning the game. But to have that self-awareness, I say, you know what, I'm probably not focused enough at that point of a game. That speaks volume to the player. And those sorts of things will be where he starts to shut people up. And he will. I do believe he will.
And the other thing is as well, I've seen it on Twitter where it's like, oh, for a big, his numbers. And I'm like, yeah, but he's kind of a wing.
Yeah, he is.
He's the size of a big, but he plays as a wing.
I'll come back to what's put around him.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a defence that can look and go, France is having an off night, so we'll put three on Paolo.
Yeah.
And you've got no other great options. You know, we're seeing Jaylen hitting 5 3-pointers the other night.
Mm-hmm.
You can't ignore him at this point on that. But unfortunately, one or two of the others have been ineffective. Anthony Black went from hitting three against, was it Washington? He hit three?
Yeah. He was locked in, wasn't he?
Yeah. To New York, where it just didn't look a good shot.
He was too involved with Brunson.
Yeah. So, again, I will come back to the point that what you put around somebody is going to change the narrative as well. Because if you can remove some of the pressure from Paolo carrying the team, he's still going to be the leader. But if you can remove some of that pressure from around him, he can be perhaps more selective on his shots. And he already is. He already is learning that.
Mm.
But he's going to get better opportunities for himself. Mm. And let's be fair, he's a hell of a passer.
Yeah.
His assist numbers could be a hell of a lot more than they are.
Yeah.
Because you need accuracy from other players to get your assist.
Yeah, I agree. Like Maggie said, could you imagine Jaylen Brunson on the Magic?
Yeah.
And yeah, that would change the narrative a lot.
We're a player short.
One player, yeah. One offensive player. So that leads us in. We don't do this very often now. We'll just talk about the record really quickly. Four games coming up, Pacers, Sunday, Nets, and then we've got back-to-back Dick with the Raptors. What do you see out of that? Sorry, Paul, if you've been checking the stats.
I wasn't expecting Dick to pop up all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, you know, if you've been checking his numbers recently, he's had a remarkable rise. But what do you think out of those four games? What can you see?
Mate, I think we drop one to the Raptors.
Yeah,
I think we go 3-1. I know that that's including the Pacers. but I kind of expect a reaction to the New York game. So, and I expect a reaction from the team. I expect a reaction from the fans in the Kia Center that's going to give that, give the Magic a hell of a boost on that first home game as we get a bounce back performance against the Pacers. So I think we beat the Pacers. I don't see why we shouldn't beat the Nets. And I think we take one of the games against the Raptors.
I'll be furious if we lose to the Nets.
Yeah.
I would be furious at that. I think we've got to go 3-1 in the week. I think if we go 3-1 in the week, it's another four games closer to the season being over. But 3-1 puts a hell of a lot of pressure on the other teams around you. 4-0, unbelievable. Like, if we've sat at 4-0 at the end of by next Sunday night, I think we've got to be two games up on somebody on the home court.
Have New York got a double date with Philadelphia coming up? I think that was one of the things that was on the broadcast. There's some hard games for teams.
3-1 puts a lot of pressure. 4-0 surely separates us out by a couple of games, even if it's 5th to 6th or 4th to 5th. But I think it could separate 5th to 6th with games running out.
We've got to play our game, mate. We've got to play our game. We've got to focus on building from that defensive standpoint again.
Yeah.
Please, guys, stop moaning.
But it's there for us.
Yeah.
It's there for us. It's, you know, there are three wins in that week, if not four. So we've got to take advantage of it. So, Paul, it's been great talking.
Two guys holding the fort this week. Mikey, unfortunately, is having to step up as a dad to be. Doing his dad duties at home, and G's just off on a jolly. So hope you've enjoyed the ice hockey, G.
The North has stepped in.
So yeah, we've held the fort.
The North has held it down.
Lauren Hardy have looked after it.
So as always, we say this every week, but thank you for listening. Please, if you don't know who we are and this is your first time, thank you for tuning in. Subscribe to YouTube, give us a like. We'll try to get back to your comments. We're on social platforms @_letstalkmagic. Our merchandise is in the links below. We have a discount code if you're on NBA Europe of Magic UK 10. They've still got that all-star jersey in there that is up with Paolo.
It's coming down.
I hope it is, because I've got a price in my mind and I'm not going to buy it unless it's...
How much you wanting for? I'll tell you what it's down to.
I want to see it below 70 because we're never going to use it again.
Yeah, mate, you're quite close. It's getting there. It's down to, yeah. I think, 79 now.
Yeah, it was. So it's there, but that's with codes included. So hopefully...
That's exactly where I am, by the way.
Yeah. It's got to be below 70, but that's where I'm at. So hopefully soon. So thank you for listening. From a missing G, from a missing Mikey, from the big slice himself and myself, go Magic.